Today I'm going to be teaching 3 days and three nights. But before I start, I know you guys have something to tell me. I'd like you to get it off your chest. How do you feel today? I am what the Word of God says I am. I have what the Word of God says I have. I will be what the Word of God says I will be. I can do what the Word of God says I can do. And I have God's favor in my life. ¿Y en español? Yo soy lo que la palabra de Dios dice que soy. Yo tengo lo que la palabra de Dios dice que tengo. Yo seré lo que la palabra de Dios dice que seré. Yo puedo hacer lo que la palabra de Dios dice que puedo hacer. Y yo tengo el favor de Dios en mi vida. Give yourselves a hand. Now I know your hearts are indicting a good matter. All right. For centuries, Christian pilgrims have flocked to the Bible lands. I don't call them the Holy Lands, by the way. The Bible lands, to celebrate the traditional day for the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. The day referred to as Good Friday. This is a day when thousands of Christians trace the Via Dolorosa, the way of the cross, to the city of Jerusalem site where Jesus Christ supposedly was nailed on a cross. Jesus was in the grave 3 full days and 3 full nights. The experience of Jonah, and please turn to Jonah chapter 1, in the belly of the fish for 3 days and 3 nights is prophecy concerning Jesus' time spent in the grave. Since this is true, there is no biblical substance to anything at all happening to Jesus on Good Friday, or the resurrection happening on Good Sunday, or whatever you want to call it. I'm being a little silly here, but I also want to make a point that if you're going to teach the Bible, please use it. In Jonah chapter 1, verse 10, we'll begin. Then were the men exceedingly afraid and said unto him, Jonah, why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then said they unto him, what shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought, and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, take me up, and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, we beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. the waters compass me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Matthew chapter 12. I don't think Jonah was very comfortable in that situation. I think it was a living hell for him. I don't think Jesus Christ was comfortable in his situation either. From what I understand, it was a living hell for him. Well, Matthew chapter 12, verse 38. Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. Warning. And there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, a greater than Jonah is here. If you continue reading that story of Jonah, you'll see that the men of Nineveh did repent. It was remarkable. Jonah didn't like that, but the men did. They were considered better than the God rejectors of Jesus' day and time. Mark chapter 8. I don't know how much false teaching regarding 3 days and three nights you've been confronted with, but I've had a belly full. And I'd like to tell you that there's swindlers out there trying to convince people that 3 days and three nights exist between any time on Friday and any time on Sunday. I'm going to tell you something. You got to be a little nutsy to believe that, because there's no way it's going to happen. And if there's no way it's going to happen, you certainly don't want to be teaching it. But this teaching should straighten you out, because it's the Word. Mark chapter 8, verse 31. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. I say Jesus was very clear in his teaching. He was to be in the grave 3 full days, and then God would raise him from the dead. Luke chapter 2. Well, I thought you'd get blessed seeing examples of other people's 3-day experiences. In Luke chapter 2, Jesus had one. His parents had one. They're the ones who really reflected on it. Luke chapter 2, verse 42. And when he, Jesus, was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it. There were so many people that had gone up there that they just figured he was with the cousins or something, as they were all going back home. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. Doesn't sound very frantic, does it? But I bet you it was. And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. When Jesus left his parents and returned to Jerusalem at 12 years old, he gave them a taste of what that 3-day wait was going to be like. He was about his father's business both times. Acts chapter 9. Saul, or Paul, same guy, experience what this 3-day wait was like as well. Acts chapter 9 and verse 8. And Saul arose from the earth. And when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight. And neither did eat nor drink. Talk about being prepared to teach the truth. I'm sure that opened up his eyes. Turn to John chapter 19. I have a chart on the screen, and you should see it remotely as well. And this chart depicts a whole lot of things. Some of you guys can't see the screen, so you can use this paper over there. In order to find the 3 days of Jesus' time in the grave, in order to understand how did it get calculated, you have to understand what actually took place during the week of the Passover, crucifixion, and resurrection. And you can't think like an American, a Westerner. You really have to think like an Easterner, Jewish, because the timelines are based on their calendars and their days. For instance, our days begin at midnight. Their days begin at 6 p.m. That's a big adjustment. And when you look at the chart, you'll see 6 p.m. on the bottom and 12 a.m. kind of toward the top, showing the start of days both from a Western and a Eastern perspective. But these are things you just need to know. John chapter 19, verse 30. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. The Jews therefore, because it was the preparation. Now the slide that I have on the screen is cropped so I could get it on there and you could still see it from a distance. But I cropped off Wednesday and Sunday. But if you pretend that you can see Wednesday, do they have the full chart on there? On the remote? Okay. If you can pretend that you can see Wednesday, on the bottom, it says preparation. See where it says Passover supper on Thursday at the bottom of the day block? Well, just slide over to the left under Wednesday and put the word preparation. This is what I'm reading right now out of the Bible. And that's really important to know. So, verse 31, the Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation, and this is preparation for the Passover supper, the women for weeks had to prepare for this. They had to go through the house and get rid of all the bread, all the unleavened or leavening, everything related to that out of the house. And then on that day, the husband came in and inspected everything because they were getting ready for the Passover supper, which was done in remembrance of what happened in Egypt. You remember that. So that's what it means, because it was the preparation. It was that Wednesday. And that actually is the 14th of Aviv, which is the Hebrew calendar. I didn't put all that on there because I just didn't want to confuse you. That the bodies should not remain upon the cross the Sabbath day. Now here's where most people get thrown for a loop, because they think there's only one Sabbath day, but sometimes there's actually two in a week. And the one here is called the High Sabbath. The Saturday, normal Sabbath, is almost never called a High Sabbath. There's actually two occasions, but not here. And so the High Sabbath was actually on the Thursday. And the way they calculated this was not by, oh, it's the 50th Thursday of the 6th month or whatever. They don't do that. They went by the moon. I'll talk about that in a minute. So it changes every year. I mean, you could have technically Resurrection Sunday be in a totally different month as any year progresses. Well, they didn't want the bodies to remain on the cross on the Sabbath day, because they couldn't work on the Sabbath day. But when does the Sabbath begin? If you're Jewish, at 6 p.m., sunset. So Jesus was crucified on that Wednesday, and he died, and they had to get him off of that tree, that stake in the ground. It wasn't a cross. That stake in the ground before 6 p.m. because they couldn't do any work on the Sabbath. They were really concerned about that. So that little star on the chart represents that 3 to 6 p.m. time period. The Bible doesn't tell us it was a 5:05 or 4:47. So let's not get like that. Let's understand that sometime after 3 o'clock and before 6 o'clock is when he was taken off that tree. And then it goes on to say in verse 31, for that Sabbath day was an high day. High Sabbath. They besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. They had to get him down. That was the point. Jesus died on the eve of a high Sabbath day. On the eve, before it started. To us, it's like having Christmas on a Thursday. Sunday still would be the holy day in modern Christendom, but there will be a special celebration on Thursday as well. On the Thursday of this week, on the chart, they ate the Passover supper. Well, Jesus ate this meal called the Last Supper the night before, because he wanted to get it in. He knew he wouldn't be able to do it on Passover, or when everybody else was going to do it. And in that week, that Saturday Sabbath still took place. So that week there were actually two Sabbaths. And they weren't able to do any work in those days. And boy, they knew it too. Jesus was placed in the grave, dead, before sunset on Wednesday, the day before the high Sabbath. Simple as that. The Feast of Unleavened Bread, and this Feast of Unleavened Bread is a time period that surrounds all of these days, required that all leaven had to be cast out of Israelite homes by the 14th, which is Passover. That would be that Wednesday. And it's in this particular year, it was the 14th of Aviv. And so that day then became the traditional day of preparation. And it's been practiced ever since. To this day, the weeks preceding Pesach, which basically means Passover, is a very busy time for the lady of a Jewish home. The entire house, with special emphasis on the kitchen, and, well, if it were our kids under their beds, the entire house is cleaned out and cooking utensils are changed for the festive period. That word Aviv, I don't have it on the chart, but it's the name of the month, is the word for spring. So, you ever heard of spring cleaning? I don't know if it comes from that. But the father of the household inspects the home on this day, that 14th in this case, that Wednesday, in a special family ritual, and the mother prepares food and special symbolic emblems for the evening's Pesach Seder, which is Passover supper. It is this supper that Joshua and his disciples prepared for the Last Supper before his ordeal the next morning. The month of Aviv was calculated from the appearing of the new moon, and irrespective of which day of the week this occurred, the Jews would count 14 days when the Pesach Passover commemoration would then start. The Pesach Sabbath is determined by the monthly phases of the moon and not by the weekly cycle. And that's that Thursday, High Sabbath. In the year of the crucifixion, the 14th of Aviv fell on a Wednesday, and the Thursday was the annual Sabbath feast day, a high day. And boy, they love that. Mary came to the grave on the first day of the week. Now, when is the first day of the week? That's Sunday. But Jesus had already been raised from the dead. But if you don't understand the 6 p.m. thing, you're going to have a real tough time when Mary really showed up. Okay? You just have to see this through Eastern eyes. Many people have tremendous trouble understanding the Bible because they don't understand that it's an Eastern book. You cannot read it strictly from a Western perspective. You have to understand some of these things. If you count from Wednesday, and this is where we can really look at your chart, sometime, anytime between 3 and 6 p.m., and remember 6 p.m. sunset, their Thursday began at our 6 p.m. on our Wednesday. Their Thursday began technically on our Wednesday, 6 p.m. And you count until 3 full days and 3 full nights later. Just go day 1, day 2, day 3, like I've marked on the chart, to get your 72 hours. That pushes you right down the week until Saturday. And you go to Saturday, sometime between 3 and 6 p.m., sunset. And remember, their Sunday, the first day of the week, began on our Saturday at 6 p.m. That's how you get 3 days and three nights, such as is taught in Jonah. You have to understand what took place during those days of the week during this time. Jesus could never have been crucified on Good Friday. At any time during that day, if he was to remain in the grave 3 days and three nights. And it's not just about getting 72 hours, but you have to line up all the Sabbaths, and you have to line up the preparation, and the many other different things that I've noted that had to take place, or that actually took place from the scriptures. And Friday had nothing to do with it. Especially if you understand the month of Aviv, and the 14-day counting from the moon, all that. But if you want, pick any time on Friday. I don't care. You can start at 12:01 a.m. our time. And any time on Sunday, I don't care what time. You can go all the way to 11:59 and 59 seconds p.m. Even though he was already alive and out of the grave by this time that Mary came on Sunday, you cannot get 72 hours. It's impossible. And boy, I've heard people try to explain 72 hours anyway, and they just get themselves into trouble. They don't teach the word, they're just talking about themselves. And it's just a shame to hear it. But if you read what's written, and understand those days of that week, you can get 72 hours as is prophesied in Jonah. There is certainly a lot more detail that I could go into because there's so many more things to understand in the scriptures if you're interested in getting into that depth. I couldn't do that in a meeting like this, and I won't. But there's so many fine details that are described in the Bible that validate this even more than these rather simplistic observations. It's just amazing. Start at some time around 5 p.m. or so in the late afternoon before sunset on our Wednesday. And continue until the same time period on our Saturday. And you'll get 3 days and three nights as the scriptures foretold. How wonderfully accurate our scriptures are. Thank you.